But today we're going to finish Titus. And so today we've been talking in Titus, talking about do good. The book of Titus over seven times has the phrase do good or do good works. And now we've been talking about belief and behavior, that our belief and behavior have to match in the life of the believer. And so today we're going to be finishing the series. But I just want to remind us, last week we ended with this. We said, who needs to repent of being a drama mama or a controversial Charlie, whether unintentionally or intentionally? We talked about who needs to repent of that. And boy, a lot of us probably could all raise our hands to this one. But then secondly, the second one was, who needs to fortify their heart, mind, and soul by saturating yourself in the Word of God more? We talked about to not be one that's full of drama and controversy and self, you know, works-based, is that we have to saturate ourselves in the Word, let the Word of God engulf us and overwhelm us. And so, anyhow, that was our thoughts from last week, but I just wanted to remind us of that. And so, with that, let's dive in here into Titus chapter 3. We're looking at verses 12 through 15 here. But I want to start off with this. There was a former president of Denver Seminary and pastor Vernon Grounds. He said this, when talking about the everyday life of a Christian, everyday just friendship and living out your walk with Jesus. He said this. He said, most of us are ordinary Christians who live routine lives. Yet our extraordinary God wants all of us to be everyday disciples who are faithful and fruitful. May it be so. And amen to that one. I agree with Vernon on that. May we be faithful and fruitful. And today, I want, as we end here in Titus, I want to talk to you about being a faithful and fruitful friend. And what does that look like in the life of the believer? How many of you know in our culture, man, people need friends. People need some friends that'll stick with you, that'll call you out, speak truth, but will love you, cry with you, go out and grab a Pepsi with you or whatever, you know, go grab a meal and just hang out. We need those friends in our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. It's about being faithful and fruitful in your friendships with one another. So let's read, let's turn here to Titus chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Let's just read the ending part here. Paul writes to Titus. He says, when I send Artemis and Tisiphus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's pray, church. Jesus, in these next few moments, we just ask that you would speak to us, quicken your word to our spirit and to our minds and to our souls. May it go down deep and take root and return, God, a good crop. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to talk to us today about you've got a faithful and faithful friend in me. If you remember the 1993 movie Toy Story, if you remember the hit song, you've got a friend in me, right? We could all probably sing it from memory right now, right? You've got it, right? It's like Woody and Buzz, man. They just are thick and thin, right? But today I want to talk to you about you've got a fruitful and faithful friend in me. If someone were to look at you and talk about, you know, what, and ask you, you know, or say, this person is this type of friend, what would they say about you? Would they say that you're faithful and you're fruitful? Or would they say you're unfaithful and you're unfruitful? What would that friend in your life be like? And that's what I want to focus on today. And that's this last part of the letter that Paul writes mimics a lot of his other writings. How many of you have read all Paul's letters? And it's always interesting, at the end of all his letters, what does he say? He's like, what's up, Mark? What's up, Drew? What's up, Tim, Jeremy? Hey, you know, come see me. Hey, I can't wait to see you. Or, you know, hey, I really miss you. I can't wait to come visit you. Hey, come visit me over here. Hey, I'm sending so-and-so to you. Hey, give him a high five. Give him a hug, Dan, and feed him well when they get there. Paul, at the end of all his letters, it seems like, boy, he's got all these friends and all these connections and social connections. And it's not just by accident or by some cosmic random circumstance. It's by divine order through the power of the Spirit when he wrote this, that man, that the Spirit highlights that relationships are the currency of the kingdom, that are your friendships are what make you rich, right? And how many of you have been enriched in your life by a friend, by a spouse, an aunt or uncle, maybe a niece or nephew, a grandchild that was your friend that enriched your life? Man, that's worth more than anything we can have on this earth. And so I want to encourage us in that. Paul writes to Titus and telling him that the people are the currency, that the people are the gold in your life, are the treasure. Here in the ending, like I said, Paul really writes and highlights about friendship matters to spreading the gospel. Here he highlights the practical needs of the people. In these last verses, Paul reminds us that people have practical needs, that your friendship has to do something more than just, hey, I've got a friend and give you a high five, but being in friendship has to be able to help others, provide for others, encourage others, help them get to their God-designed callings, help them move along in their calling and in their ministry, what God's called them to. The good deeds here, and look at verse 14. Paul writes here, he says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Church, that sure sounds like a command, like an urgency that we get the privilege to live out. We get to live out helping others and being fruitful and helping them in their needs. Now, I know our church and many of you here right now are so great about helping others. And I think our church has set a precedent of how, man, we are quick to help others. We're quick to help others in need. But church, it's not just because we're nice or we're the nice Americans, but it's because we are commanded by God through the power of the Spirit to help others in urgent need. And Paul reminds the church here that we are called to be devoted to good works, but that these good works are done because of the grace of God in our life. How many of you before Jesus, you were selfish and you worried about me, myself, and I? And you wouldn't have given a darn about anybody else. You looked out for number one, number uno. But how many of you, after God has come into your life, man, when you see someone in need, you see someone hurting, boy, your spirit is quickened to that. How many of you could testify to that today? That, man, with God's help, man, now you look for needs. You look to help people. Well, that's a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit and coming in relationship with Christ as the ultimate friend. Man, he turns us out to go out and to be friends to others and to be fruitful and to help. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. It's going to be here on your screen. The Apostle Paul made it clear that without Jesus, why would he have cared about anybody? And I ask that question to us. Without Jesus, why would you care for anybody in this world? Why would we? Why should we? But in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10, Paul writes, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It sounds like Popeye, the sailor there. I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that it is the grace of God, the transformation of the Spirit through us that leads us to others, to help others. It's not of our own good works or our own genealogies or because we were so righteous or unrighteous, but it's the grace of God that comes in and transforms us, that leads us out into friendship, to go out and do good works, which Paul writes all through the letter of Titus, that we are to devote ourselves to good works. But the devotion is not just we're going to do this. It is the grace of God, the loving kindness. We read in chapter 3, the loving kindness of God our Savior entered our life. And that transforms us to go out by his grace and to tell others about him. Now, this everyday disciple, this friendship, this fruitful and faithful friendship, what does it look like? And why are we called to do this? Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12. It's going to be here on the screen as well. But I want to give us just a couple of verses that Paul writes about. Why are we supposed to go out? And what is our mandate as a faithful friend? What are we supposed to do? This is a familiar verse to a lot of us. So Paul writes to the young church in Thessalonica, and he says, now concerning brotherly love, have you no need for anyone to write you? For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Man, God's grace in our life should compel us, should urge us, as this scripture here remind us that we are to live every day out with purpose. Now, how many of you, some days we live routine lives, and some days you're like, you get up, you feed the kids, you wash the kids' clothes, you get in the car, fill it with gas, you go to work, you do your job, you come home, you say hello to the kids, you make dinner, or talk to your spouse, or whatever, if you do a home project. There's some days we're all there? Some days it's just a routine in life. But the routine is not without purpose. And in this verse here, Paul is reminding us that there's a high calling to living out your faith every day, and everyday discipleship, every day being faithful. What we think is routine and just monotonous is an example to the world of God's grace in our life that's redeemed us and transformed us. when we're faithful and consistent in the little things, that's a testimony to the world that, man, our God, this God they serve is a God of purpose and purposefully gave him things to do. And Titus here, he reminds us in Titus here 3:14 we just read, Paul writes, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Once again, Paul writes here in Titus, in these letters of 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians were all written about the same time. And Paul has this consistent theme through the Spirit that we are to be busy with our hands, doing things, working to provide, to help, because God's grace has transformed us. And in these everyday routines, going to work, saving money, tithing, helping someone in need, giving 10 bucks to that stranger, giving to that nonprofit or that cause right now, that is the routine that defeats the enemy and defeats his testimony to the world that, oh, the church is just either not caring or these people are doing it for their own selfish reasons. No, everything we do is because of the grace that's transformed us. I tell people a lot of times, if it wasn't for Jesus, all your piety and all your ethics codes out in the world, they're useless. And you guys have heard me say before, without Jesus, why should we care about the laws of the land? Why should we not kill or murder? Why should I respect you? Why shouldn't I come take your money, your cars, your family? I mean, what's wrong with war then? What's wrong with governments taking? What's wrong with communism? What's wrong with that? If we don't have the grace of God in our life, if God isn't real, if that grace hasn't transformed us, and if it's not real, and if it doesn't transform us to do something different than what the world does, then what's the purpose of the grace of God then? But Paul writes and gives us testimony that if you are transformed by God, you're going to live it out differently. That his grace working in you does proclaim the kingdom of God on earth until he comes. Living out these routines that we do, living out everyday Christians where we're faithful and fruitful to our friends and those in need proves that God is alive and every man's a liar. And every world system that lifts us up against God is part of the anti-Christ system of against Jesus. There was a man that was asked in his 80s, a man was asked just about life. What is life? And he said, my life moves along contentedly in well-worn grooves. And he says, as I observe my friends and neighbors around me, I realize that most of them are following a basic routine. Although not trapped on a treadmill, they are working at their jobs, raising their families, and serving in their churches. There's nothing necessarily heroic or exciting about their lives, nor is there about mine. And this man didn't know Christ. And think about that. Boy, that is a life with no meaning, no purpose. Just going through life with no purpose. But church, today's message, as we end this letter in Titus, Paul gives us a calling, a high calling, and reminds us, and I want to challenge and remind you today that our routines are not in vain. Going to work, doing the right thing, showing up, taking care of your household, taking care of a son or a daughter or a spouse or a niece or nephew, saving money, giving, doing the things we do every day, day in and day out, is not random. It's a testimony to the world that we've been changed. And by the faithful routines we do, we give glory to God by, because out of these faithful routines, we show that God has purpose in our life. And I want to ask this, do we at times feel and do we fail to recognize, like I said, the high calling of routines in our life, the high calling of being faithful and fruitful friends and being faithful and fruitful parents, spouses, employees? How many of you sometimes you just don't want to go to work? I'll raise my hand. You're like, ooh, that's the pastor. What? There's days I don't want to go to work or do my, quote, job, right? But out of that faithfulness and fruitfulness, out of the routines, we give glory to God, and we give glory, and we show that the enemy does not win. He hasn't won in our life, that God's redeemed us and given us a purpose in that. A while ago, before he passed away, there was American statesman Bernard Baruch. He was an investor in the stock market in the early 1900s and 1890s. He helped World War I President Wilson with helping finance World War I. And right before he died in 1964, someone asked him, they said, what's the greatest personality of our age? Who's the greatest person of the age in America? And he said this, I thought it was very, very pointed. He says, who's the greatest? He says, the fellow who does his job every day. The mother who has children, gets up to make them breakfast, keeps them clean, and sends them off to school. The fellow who keeps the streets clean, the unknown soldiers, millions of them. And in that, I thought, it's just a little quip he said on it right before he died. And I think that speaks to us, church, that sometimes we go about the Father's business and we think, man, what's this life meaning? God, I'm going to work. I tell that person again about you. I pray for that coworker. And it feels like I'm in another routine. But church, being faithful and fruitful is what God's called us to. Apostle Paul writes here in verse 14 that we can't be unfruitful. We have to be faithful in the little things so that when the needs are presented to us, Paul said, hey, take care of Zenas, take care of Apollos. They're coming to you with needs. Church, are you faithful and ready to bless them, to take care of those needs so that the kingdom of God has advanced and has expanded? Or we would say the local church was expanded there on the island of Crete. Have you been faithful, church, so that when the needs presented, you can be fruitful and say, hey, man, out of my daily living, that I can bless and help and be a friend to you? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 here, and it's going to be here on your screen, and 1 Timothy 5:8. I just want to highlight to us again that doing good works for others is a powerful testimony. Look at these verses here. 1 Thessalonians 4, once again, we said it again, but I want to just read it again. It says, and we need to aspire to live quietly and to mind our own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent upon no one. Being quick to do good works, being faithful in your good works and your daily routine gives us the ability to walk properly before outsiders. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about being the gospel witness. Now, a lot of you went out with Time to Revive, and I hope many of us will go out and we present the gospel and ask people, hey, do you know Jesus? But church, your faithful routines, by being fruitful and not being lazy and living off the government, church, you give a witness to Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here. By getting up, using your gifts, your talents, your vocational skills, whatever skills you have, man, you're giving testimony to Jesus, to outsiders. Missy, thank you for sharing that. Missy, using your gifts of creativity and craftiness, man, a lady got prayed for in Jesus' name. Now, she's going to be trying to give credit to you, but we know, Missy, you're going to turn it back to Jesus. But that is a testimony to Jesus and to outsiders that, hey, there's a God that cares. There's a God that's beyond us, but also comes and can redeem us and save us. And that's the important part of what Paul writes here. And in 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul writes, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I know you've probably heard this verse growing up, but it ties in here to Titus here, where Paul talks about, if you're not fruitful and faithful, church, you're worse than an unbeliever. And as the church today, church, we can't be found to be lacking or be lazy when the needs are presented to us. And even like with Time to Revive coming or other things in our city, when people come to our church and ask for help, church, are we being unfruitful because we haven't done due diligence to save, to make a budget, to prioritize, hey, what do we need, this or that? Hey, how do we use our gifts to be a blessing to Sioux City? God wants to find us faithful and fruitful. But in this verse, if we're not taking care of ourselves and people in our household, man, we lose that blessing. We lose that blessing to be a blessing to others. Paul closes in these verses, in every one of his epistles, he closes with this relationship, this focus on relationships. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, the really holy thing is going out being a witness. And that is true. Our main call is to be a witness. But church, taking care of one another, being faithful, being fruitful, being a faithful friend of one another is a high calling. It's a high honor. Because out of those callings, we're able to provide, as Paul says, we're able to provide for one another here. Now, here's what's interesting. Paul didn't say in here, let's look at the verse here. Look with me here in your Bible here at these last two verses. Did Paul say, hey, be ready to devote yourselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful, and you're going to get 1,000 likes on Instagram, and you're going to get all these endorsement deals, and the governments are going to come and say, oh, man, you're it. You're awesome, church. High five, and we're just going to give you all this money. Does it say that in your version or your translation of Scripture? No, it does not. There are no media coverage. There's no social media coverage. There's no Roman governor coming to the church saying, oh, church, you're the best. Thank you. There's none of that. There's none of that here. But in every one of Paul's epistles, he ends it, he says, hey, take care of people. And he says, grace be to you. He puts the command that, hey, God's changed your life. So now you have a calling, a high calling to help others and be a faithful and fruitful friend. Pastor Tom Nelson, he's a pastor, current pastor here in America. He just came out with a book called The Flourishing Pastor. And he said this in the book, and he sums it up. And man, it's been sticking with me for these last 5 months. He says, there is no service without sacrifice. Think about that. There is no service without sacrifice. Now, it's easy for us. Many of you have parents, or you've served in the armed forces. And we know there is no freedom without that sacrifice of many men and women throughout the centuries here in America. Thank you for that service and you in here that have served. But think about this, church. There is, if you don't sacrifice, there is no way to serve others. Paul writes here and he says, we have to be ready to devote ourselves to good works, but that good works only happens when you and I sacrifice. When we sacrifice the desire to just throw off restraint, throw off responsibility. How many of you said, oh, I don't want to go to work today? But if we throw off responsibility, and if we throw off that sacrifice of, you know what, I'm going to go to work and serve my family, I'm going to serve that boss, I'm going to save that money. If we don't do that sacrifice, there's no way for us to serve others. And church today, God's asking our church and the churches of Sioux City and of the world to sacrifice so that we can serve others. We can be ready to bless others in need. We have to sacrifice and be ready for that. And my question to us is this, are you willing to sacrifice to be faithful and fruitful to others in the family of God? Today, how many of you are willing to say, Pastor Dan, I'm going to live out the routines. I'm going to be faithful to go to work. I'm going to be faithful to save. I'm going to be faithful to use my gifts and talents to serve others, no matter what it costs me. Can you say that today wholeheartedly? Can you say that with a clear conscience before God, our Savior, that God, I'll sacrifice, just like you showed us in your Son that he gave of his life. I'm going to give of my life so that I can serve others and be ready to help the Zenuses and the Apollos when they come into our life, into this church life. Are you willing to do that? And let me end with this. Here are the three goods, as I close here. Here are the three do goods of the letter of Titus. If you could sum up Titus and what we've been talking about over these 8 weeks is this. The first is this, love what is good. Titus 1:8, love what is good. Secondly, teach what is good. Teach sound doctrine, right doctrine. Titus 2:3, and lastly, do what is good. Titus 2:7, 1 Titus 2:14, and then 3:8. Do what is good, church. And I want to end with just that doing what is good is being a faithful and fruitful friend to others. We're going to have people come into this congregation, come into this city that need us, church, to sacrifice. There's going to be people in your life, your spouse right now, your child, an aunt or uncle, your coworker, a boss might need you to sacrifice by coming in every day, doing your job with excellence, budgeting. You know whatever your situation calls for, but you've got to come in and do that routine with excellence and sacrifice so that you can be ready to help those in need. Because we need to love what is good, teach what is good, and do what is good, church. Our world needs us. It needs the church, the family of God, to do what is right, to do good right now. Because our world needs that testimony to the world that we, the church, man, we sign up for sacrifice. We'll be first to give, right? It's kind of like some of our armed forces. Sometimes our armed forces seem to be more willing to give than sometimes the church wants to give and sacrifice our lives and our fortunes and our assets to help others. And many of you are giving, and it's not combination, but I want to encourage you. This is another call to arms, another chance for we, the church, and myself included, that we can do what is good by sacrificing so that people can say, man, that's a faithful friend. That's a fruitful friend. Man, when I was in need, man, that church, Bev was there to help me in need. Or Roxanna was there. Or Missy, our daughter, Keith was there. Church, let us do good and teach good and be ready to always love what is good, which is the people of this world, and especially the people in the family of God. So let's pray here and ask God to help us be a faithful and fruitful friend and to sacrifice for others today. Let's pray, church. God, we come before you and we say thank you for being a father that sacrificed for us, that you gave of your Son so that we could have freedom and have life and life with you forever. God, I ask today that God, that this church and every church in Sioux City and every church in this great land that calls upon your name, that God, we'd be quick to sacrifice for others. That God, we'd be faithful and fruitful friends, willing to help the urgent needs that arise before us. God, I pray that your Spirit would empower us, I pray that your Spirit would guide us, help our eyes, help our ears to see the needs around us. For those that are expanding the kingdom, that are going out with the gospel, God, help us to be quick to help, quick to serve. God, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here at Cross Point today, in the nursery and Kids Point, that they would know that God, that you have called them to do good and to devote themselves to good works. God, we say thank you that you sent your Son for us once again, the ultimate good work, the redeeming act of history to redeem us. Jesus, we say thank you, and God, we're going to devote our lives to serving you. We're going to devote this church and this building, everything that we have, every last drop of money, every part of this building, anything we have, God, we're going to sacrifice it for you, to you, Jesus, and say, take us. We are your living sacrifices. Use us, God, to promote the gospel, to expand the kingdom here in Sioux City and around the world. God, help us to be faithful. And God, we just say thank you. And it's all in your strong name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen and amen.